now I know the boys in Jensen's class are scared. Because I told them, I said this morning, should I preach a really, really long sermon or a really, really short sermon? And he said, well, what's the really long sermon, Dad? He said, it's the sins of the sons and families. So they said, don't preach that one. Well, I'm not going to preach that one, okay? We're going to look at another one in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And this is actually where we are in our Sunday school class, the senior Sunday school class. And as you turn to Luke chapter 24, I'm going to draw a little picture up here with Uncle Ralph's new whiteboard that he just gave me. It's going to be a picture of a river or of a stream, which has a lot of water in it, okay? And right by that river, right by that stream, we're going to draw the ground here. Okay, so here's the ground. And so this is the ground here. And so I don't have any more green. Because what this would be like the grass up here. And so we have the sun up here. Okay. And underneath the ground here, this is where the worms are. All the bugs. Okay. All right. And what we're going to draw here is we're going to draw a large, large tree. Because the story that we have today before us in Luke chapter 24 is a story about God's Word. And it's a story about the disciples, and again, I don't have any more green. I'll have to go get another green. But this tree is very green, and it's got a lot of fruit on that tree there, okay? And Word of God is the river here, is the water. And the tree represents the disciples, represents you and I. And you see how this tree is very, very, very close to the water. Okay, we're going to draw another tree later on. It's far away from the water, but this tree is very, very close to the water. Now, where you decide to plant yourself for most of your life, where you decide to plant yourself, whether it's close to the Word of God or far, far away, for most of your life, no one's going to be able to tell whether you're close or whether you're far away. But when something goes really, really wrong, that's when everyone is going to be able to see, that's when you're going to be able to see, how close you are to the Lord and how close you are to His Word. That's what Luke chapter 24 is about. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start reading verse 1. And this is a dramatic experience for these disciples. They are very, very afraid, and they're very concerned, and they are not sure about the future because Jesus Christ had died and He was buried, and they didn't know what was going to happen next. I want you to notice as we read this story how many times the angel is going to say to the disciples, don't you remember the words that Jesus told you? If you could just remember those words, you would be okay. You would know that things are going to work out. And that is a principle in the Christian life that can help all of us. We need to remember the Word of God and stay close to the Word of God. Let's read the first couple of verses here of Luke chapter. I guess I should turn this on, right there. Hold on, kids. There you go, right? Okay. Okay, let's read Luke chapter 24, and let's notice how often the words, the angel talks about remembering the words that Jesus spoke. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher.
bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth. And the men said to the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now notice, one of the shortest verses in this portion is next. "And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulcher, and they told all the things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed as idle tales, and the apostles believed them not. Then Peter ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Now tonight we're going to look at the second part of the portion of God's word. And the phrase in the second part on the road to Emmaus is not remembering the word, but having the word opened up. Two very different ideas. Jesus opened unto them the scriptures. This morning we just want to think about remembering the word of God. Tonight, we want to think about what it means to have the Word of God opened up unto us. And so, with your fingers here, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. This is the verse that we have memorizing at Kids Club. This was the verse that Gladys shared with me July. She passed away in August. Had never seen this verse before. It was not her life verse, but it was a verse that meant an enormous amount to her. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we have this river and we have this tree and the word of God. And we read in Luke 24 that the angel says, "Remember the word of God. Think about what you've heard in the past. Don't forget it." Look at what these verses say. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." So the roots we haven't drawn yet, but this tree is spreading out her roots by the river. "And shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That verse is telling us about this tree planted by the river close to the Word of God. If the tree has deep roots near the river and is drawing from the Word of God and is remembering what the Word of God says in his or her life every day, That verse is telling you, and this is what Gladys lived, that verse is saying that even when it's hot out and all the rest of the trees are withering, you're not going to be worried. Even when there's a drought and there's not enough water for everybody else, you're safe, you're okay, you have enough, more than enough water. That you are going to be fruitful. When there's no water around, sometimes the other plants don't grow the fruit as big, and as sometimes they don't grow the fruit at all. But the tree that's planted by the river is always going to have fruit, always going to be something in her life or his life that God enjoys and loves to think about. That's what fruit is. Something that you can give away to others so that other Christians can get stronger and be solid. Gladys at 91, when she passed away, was living in a home that was a nursing home, and spiritually it was a drought. She had roommates who threatened her life. She was the only black resident in an all-white nursing home. They sabotaged her chair. They didn't want to sit with her at dinner at first. She had a very difficult situation. Nursing homes at least this one, and I think it's true throughout the country, they don't have enough nurses, especially at night when everyone wants to go to bed. And everyone is screaming at the nurses, "Help me first, help me first, help me first." It was a very hard place for someone like Gladys, for anyone to be. Yet Gladys at 91, because she had spent her life digging her roots down into the Word of God, and she tapped into the river, at 91, all of that water from the Spirit of God and from the Word of God was now in her life, bubbling over, and she was helping her roommate. When her roommate would go to the bathroom on her bed, she would clean it up because the nurses couldn't come around to help her out. She won her roommate over by making sure her roommate had the right things to eat at dinner, making sure the nurses, they're just slapping the food around. And Gladys knew that her roommate liked the ice cream and her roommate liked the fruit. She was watching out for her, and she made her roommate actually get stronger because of that. At night, she was never calling out to the nurses, "Help me, help me, help me." She let the nurses help everybody else. And then the nurses would come to help her. She was okay. She had joy. It was hard. She had joy. Why? Because she had spent her young years getting planted in the Word of God. And when the tough times came, she could remember all the things that she'd learned from the Word of God, and it made her stronger, stronger for Jesus. Now, I want you to remember that as we come back to our story today in Luke chapter 24. Because you see, boys and girls, as I work with children, and I work with many of you here, one of the things that is very, very, very disturbing is how few children are getting into the scriptures on their own and starting to read the Bible for themselves. That's very, 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 very disturbing. If you aren't getting planted into the Word of God right now, you're not going to be a tree that's strong. You're going to be a tree that's weak. And as soon as something happens, you're going to be blown down. And it's going to be very, very sad. Look at how it almost happened to these disciples here in this story. In the first couple verses, you see how these women were very sad about something. Jesus had died. They were very sad. They were broke. Their joy was broken. And they wanted to do something for Jesus. And what did they decide to do for Jesus? They decided to pack up their bags with all their spices, and then pack up their knapsacks with all of the things that would make the perfumes and stuff like that. And they got up early in the morning when it was still dark out, and they went somewhere. They went to where the Lord Jesus was buried. What were they looking for when they went to where the Lord Jesus was buried? What were they looking for? DJ, what were they looking for?
Jesus.
Jesus as a dead body, right? They were looking for a dead body. They were so sad that they were looking for a dead body. And what were they going to do with that dead body, Jacob? Going to put spices on it. Try to make something that was dead smell nice. Try to make something that was dead look nice. And that's often what happens in our lives when difficulties come and when we have pressures in our lives. We try to take something that's dead and make it look nice. Now, they were doing it because they loved Jesus. And they wanted to do something nice for Jesus. But that's not what God wanted them to do. God didn't want them to focus in on finding dead things down there and making dead things look nice. There are a lot of Christians today who are spending their lives going and getting dead things that God doesn't want us to do anything with and dressing them up and making them look like nice Christian things. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to focus in on something else. God had something better for those women to do. But those women, could you blame them? They were kind of sad. They were kind of upset. Couldn't blame them, right? When they got to the tomb where Jesus was, the Bible says they found the stone rolled away. And they found not the body of Jesus. And do you see what it says in verse 4 there? Keep your Bibles open and read along with me. Hey, Christian, open up your Bible, Luke 24, and read along with me, okay? It says in verse 4 that they were much perplexed. They were much perplexed. That's the way a Christian is going to be who does not have their roots deep into the Word of God. Men and women, boys and girls, young people here. If you are like a tree and you're far away from Jesus, and you've got your roots down here, but you're not really close to the river, really close to the Word of God, when something like this happens and you're sad and you're upset and things collapse, you're going to find yourself, the word is perplexed. That means, what? How did this happen? What? It doesn't make any sense. You're going to find yourself looking to dead things to try to spice up some stuff that's smelly and disgusting and gross, and you don't want to, shouldn't have anything to do with it anyway. You're going to find that that's the way your Christian life is going to be. And maybe some of you here in this room, you're young enough, but yet you're old enough, and you already know that that's kind of what's happening in your life. The angels give these women the answer in the very next verses. So here they are perplexed. It says two men stood by them in shining garments, and the women were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth. And the angels asked them a question. Now here's the question, they said. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Is that what the women were doing? Were they seeking the living among the dead, Danny? Were they? No, they weren't. What were they looking for? They were looking for the dead among the dead. They were looking for the dead among the dead. Right away, the angels come to the women and say, you've got the wrong perspective. Something's gone really wrong. And they don't even ask, why are you looking for the dead among the dead? They say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You see, what the women didn't understand was that Jesus Christ was alive. They wanted Jesus Christ. They thought Jesus Christ was still dead. They were okay with a dead Jesus. And the angels said, he's alive, he's alive. Why are you looking for something that's alive among things that are dead? You know, boys and girls, men and women, that is one of the biggest mistakes that Christians make today. They look for spiritual life amongst things that are dead. The Bible says this world is dead in trespasses and in sins. And yet we try to liven up our spiritual lives, liven up our Christian lives by finding something in the world, something that's exciting in the world that gets us excited. It never works. You're looking for something alive amongst something that's dead. Some Christians turn to Satan. And they think that turning to Satan is going to somehow bring life to their lives. It doesn't work. He's death. He's the father of death. Some Christians turn to the flesh and think that if they can somehow get their bodies okay and satisfied and fill their stomach with things, that they're going to be alive and they're going to be okay. All those things are trying to find spiritual life from things that are dead, 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 dead. And the angel said to the women, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." And that was the thing that a tree like this will never understand. But a tree like this is going to really understand that Jesus Christ is alive. Most people want Jesus Christ dead today. They want to come to Jesus and they want to know that he's dead because a dead Jesus isn't going to have any opinions about how you live your life. If Jesus is dead, then you can live any way you want. You can sin and you can compromise because Jesus is dead. And that's the way most people like it. Most people in churches today, they don't want a risen Lord Jesus Christ. But if you understand, and I understand, that Jesus Christ is alive, and he's here in this room right now, then we know that he's concerned about whether you're even listening tonight, this morning or not. And he's concerned about whether you've given him place this morning in your Bible reading. All of a sudden, it changes everything. Jesus is alive, and you can know him, and he can know you. You see, if a dead Jesus is a dead Jesus, then people will just come and give their spices away to Jesus. And there are a lot of churches today, and that's what they do. They have spices and incense. And they think that if they come and they see the priest and the pastor do the spices and the incense and the church smells nice, that everything's great. And they go out the door, and then they live any way they want because Jesus is dead. He's just in the church. We gave him our spices. It's okay. But that's not what the angels wanted these women to do. These angels said, "He's alive! He's alive!" And it changes everything. It changes the way you look. He's alive and he's present and he knows all about you. And they weren't sure about this. Now notice what the angels say. It's the point of the whole story. "Remember," it says here, "remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee. He said, 'The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. You see, what the angels were saying is, Jesus told you already ahead of time what was going to happen. He warned you. He said, look, at least twice, maybe more like four or five times recorded, and I'm sure that it was happening over and over and over again amongst the disciples. Jesus told his disciples, there's going to come a time when things look hopeless, when things are collapsing. There's going to come a time when they're going to take me, and they're going to tie me up, and they're going to persecute me, and I'm going to suffer at the hands of sinful men, and they're going to nail me on the cross, and I'm going to die, and you're all going to leave me. But on the third day, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be alive, and I'm telling you about this before it happens. Why do you think Jesus told the disciples about that before it happened? Why do you think, David? Why did he do that? He wanted them to be prepared. He didn't want them to be perplexed. He didn't want them running to dead things. He wanted them to be ready. He loved them. He loves you. And he wanted you to be prepared. And so here was the Lord Jesus. And he had all of this water from his mouth, the word of God, reminding them that this is going to happen and I want you to be ready. And if you could just remember it when this happens, you'll be stronger. You'll be faithful. You'll be ready. The problem was that these women, like so many of us, their roots were kind of shallow. And they forgot. They forgot. See, God wants us, and you see how these roots grow here? These roots, he wants them to grow down deep and get into that river there and start drawing from the river and start getting stronger. Boys and girls, when a tree grows, you can see what's happened above the surface, right? But can you see what's happening below the surface? You can't. You can't. And I can't see in your lives where your roots are growing. I don't know how deep your roots are getting into the Word of God. These women, they looked like they were so faithful, but then when things happened, they didn't even remember what the Lord said. None of the disciples had been listening. And on the surface, they looked like they'd been listening, but deep down, they must have just not listened, or I don't know what it was, but they had forgotten it all. How about you? You know, if you can read, then you can start reading your Bible. And when you read your Bible every day, you are digging a root deeper and deeper and deeper. When you read your Bible in a quiet place. No one sees it. Just like these roots are going down deeper and deeper, trying to get to the river, trying to get to the Word of God, so that they can be strong, so that they can start to grow, so that they can have fruit. They don't want to be far away from the river. They want to be close to the river, so that when the tough times come, they're not going to be shaken around. What's happening today, boys and girls, is that boys and girls aren't starting to read their Bibles. You know what they're trying to be? They're trying to be like these trees. Here's a tree here. And they have little stubby little 2-inch roots. That's it. Yeah, you come to church, you go to Sunday school, you'll get some roots, but they're only going to be like little stubby little 2-inch roots. And then they grow up like this, and they look so good, but what happens when the winds blow? Is the tree rooted and grounded? No. It collapses. You'll never get to where Gladys was. Like that. Not a shot. As I get older, one of the fellows that first shared this concept with me was an elder at our church named George Mortland. He actually preached here a couple times in the 70s. He passed away while I was in college. He wrote a letter to me. It was the last letter he ever wrote. And he shared a verse from Jeremiah about Judah. I had written to him a letter, and I said, we're doing all these great things for Jesus on campus. We're handing out Bibles. We have book tables. People come to us and ask us questions about Jesus. We're starting Bible studies up in the dorm. Very exciting. Nothing like being on a college campus, a godless place full of all kinds of temptations, and being a Christian there. And having other Christians around you and trying to make a difference for Jesus on that campus. A great experience. A great experience, one of the best experiences I ever had in my life. I met my wife, Carol, in that kind of an environment. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I wrote to him about all the things that we were doing. And he sent he can only write a short letter. He was dying of cancer, and sent a very short letter back. He said how much he was excited about what I was doing. But then he said, and he was in his 70s. He died early, he said, in his 70s. He said, as I get older in life, he quoted to me a verse from the book of Jude about keeping our hearts in the love of God. Something like that, right, brother? Keeping our hearts in the love of God. In other words, what he was telling me was that as he gets older, his heart, the passion of his youth when he was a young Christian, that keeping that heart aflame for God, he realized, became harder and harder and harder. And then he shared the last verse he did with me. He said, you need to be like a tree. You got to dig those roots down deepward, and then you'll bear fruit upward. And he signed it with this last phrase, no one sees the progress the roots make. I never forgot that. Because you see, today Christians feel themselves, we got so much activities. We got kids club. Wow, 70 kids coming on a Friday night for kids club. It's a fun time, lots of activities, exciting. We've got Sunday school program. We've got the Sunday school picnic. We've got church here. Beth, all these things that we do. Mom takes us to all these Christian places and stuff like that. All those things. They're all activities, kids, and they're all great. But the real work of becoming a spiritual man or woman for God is something that doesn't happen through these activities. It happens on your own. What are you doing with your roots? Are you digging them down deep and finding the water from the Word and then tapping in, locking in, and saying, this is what's going to sustain my life, the truth of the Lord, the truth of God's Word? After many, many years, a long time, you start to become strong. This tree will never get strong. This tree is so far away. This tree, though, at 90, can still have joy and satisfaction in the Lord. The angels just asked, and we'll close with this one last thought. The angels just asked the women this one question. Did you remember? Did you remember what Jesus said? You know, I grew up in an assembly. I had perhaps some of the greatest Sunday school teachers ever. Men and women who dedicated their lives just to teaching Sunday school. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But you know what? I had a brother named Ned Stevens. In my seventh, eighth, and ninth grade years, take us through the book of Romans. And I have trouble remembering all the things he said. He was passionate about it. He taught it. I have trouble remembering all the things that he said. My dad, in my senior year in high school, took the class through the book of the Revelations, and I can remember some things, but I can't remember a lot of the things that he said. Betty DeRemer, who just passed away, taught us. Martha Stump taught us. Mrs. Steenland taught us. All these saints of God poured their lives into the teaching of the Word of God, and I wish I could remember more of the things that they taught us. How about you? When you're in chapel here and you're listening to Mr. Rieger or Mr. Jentz or Mr. Swain or Mrs. Judy, or you're listening to the preachers, are you writing it down? You're saying, I really want to remember this. Someday this is going to be important to me. I want to be like this tree here. I want to be like this tree. I don't want to be like this tree. Lord, let me dig my roots down deepward so that I can bear fruit upward. We don't have time. We're out of time, but we were going to go through Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. What I wanted to do this morning, boys and girls, was simply say this. If you're not thriving and thirsting for the Word of God in your life right now, you're just like these women, and you're trying to dress up dead things, and you have no spiritual power, and you have no spiritual life. Get into the Word. Read the Word. And ask the Lord to help you remember it and become a boy or a girl, a man or a woman now. When the tough times come, God's going to flood you with those verses and those thoughts and the greatness of who He is, and you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong for Jesus. The women finally got that. They did remember. They did remember. They went running back to the disciples, and they said, He's alive, He's alive. And they did talk about the angel, and they did talk about the stone, but it wasn't the angel and it wasn't the stone. It wasn't those things that made them passionate for Jesus. It was the words that Jesus taught them early in their lives. And they remembered them. And they remembered them. And they came back to these disciples. And the disciples, they said, these are idle tales. You don't know what you're talking about. Peter ran back and saw the stone and saw the grave clothes, but it didn't change him. It wasn't until they finally got back to the Word and they remembered the words of Jesus that they had strength in their lives. Tonight we want to talk about going deeper than just remembering the Word. Jesus, yes, he wants us to remember the Word of God, but Jesus also wants to open up the Word of God. A very different thing. And if we want a deeper experience with Jesus, then we want the experience that we're going to find about tonight. How do we get the Lord to open up the Word so that I can become like, well, we'll find out tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. So, Lord, we know that these thoughts are scattered, but your word is so helpful. And so we want to just commit your word to our ears, to our minds, to our thinking. We pray, Lord, that our young people here in this room might make a conscious decision this year to plant themselves close to the Lord Jesus Christ and do that by every day deciding, I'm going to read my Bible and draw strength from God. I want to be a strong tree that grows up tall for Jesus with roots deep down in the Word. So we pray that the kids here at this chapel, that they might have a different experience than everybody else around them. Thank you for those fun times that we have, the excitement of kids club and other things, but help us never, ever to replace getting to know you personally alone in our closets with these other things, Lord. For we want to know you, Lord, in a deep and fuller way. So bless this little talk, Lord. We pray that if anything good has happened because of this little talk, that we would be careful to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the honor and glory in his worthy and precious name.